A refrain we can tell ourselves whenever we are experiencing fear of others. Please listen for that refrain as we read through the psalm. Listen for a repeated verse. If you're able, I invite you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God because we recognize that this is His holy word to us. And today we read, to the choir master, according to the dove on far-off terebinths, Michmash of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape, and wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Please bow with me. Father God, thank you for these wonderful words written by David long ago, that we might know to trust in you, that our trust in you might grow deeper, might grow richer. May that happen today as we consider these words. Give us insight, give us wisdom, change our hearts and our minds, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. And you may be seated. Verse 4 says, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? And verse 11 says, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Just one word different, flesh and man. That's the refrain. The repetition calls for us to remember those words and use those words for comfort. Remind ourselves that the answer to the question, what can man do to me, is nothing outside of God's goodwill. Flesh, man can do nothing outside of God's good will. Along with that refrain, I encourage you to memorize all of verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? That is the application of this psalm in a nutshell. Notice the mention of the word of God. The importance of the word of God in fighting fear is emphasized in this psalm. Look at verse 10. It says, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise. When David was afraid, he looked to the word of God to fuel his trust in God. That's what David did to fight fear. That's the application. Now, to help us appreciate that application, my first overall point this morning is David's frightening situation. David was a strong, talented warrior, but he experienced fear. He wrote this psalm because of a frightening situation that involved several reasons for fear. Notice that David does not say in the psalm, I will never be afraid. That's not what he says. That's not realistic in this fallen world. David says, when I am afraid, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my trust in you, O God. A trust fueled by your word, O God. David did experience fear. This psalm was written because of a frightening situation, a situation that involved several reasons for fear. I'm going to list those reasons for us. We know the specific situation that led to the writing of the psalm because the title informs us of it. This psalm, like some others that we have recently seen, gives us a detail that clearly reveals what the situation was. The title tells us, to the choir master according to the dove on far off terebinths. And that just means a song tune, by the way, that little phrase there, according to the dove on far off terebinths, that likely was a tune used for this. A mitkum of David. When the Philistine seized him in Gath. The mention of Gath indicates what situation David is referring to. I want to show you a map I showed you recently when looking at Psalm 54. On this map, we see Nob, Keilah, and Ziph. Those are places we have learned about in recent Psalms when David was fleeing from King Saul. Take note of where Nob is on the map, because I'm going to review what happened there in just a moment. Gath was nearby, and it was controlled by the Philistines. And the mention of Gath indicates a very specific situation that involved, again, several reasons for fear. Reason number one, King Saul was intent on killing David. That is part of David's history we have considered often, because it had a huge impact on David's life, leading him to write several psalms in which he was dealing with that. I'm going to just summarize that history very quickly because we've talked about it a lot together. King Saul was extremely jealous of David because David was a great warrior and a godly man. King Saul was so jealous of David, he was quite literally wanting to kill him. And he had the power to do so. King Saul had the authority. King Saul had the army. King Saul had the weapons. King Saul had the informants. He could kill David. So we need to understand that when David asks in this refrain, what can man do to me? Well, the answer from a worldly, human perspective was a lot from a human perspective. King Saul had all kinds of power, and he was actively using it to hunt down David and kill him. How would you feel if a leader of an army was after you? What if the FBI and the CIA was unleashing all it had to find you and kill you? Would you be afraid? I think we would. David felt fear, because that was the kind of situation David was facing. King Saul was intent to kill him. That's one reason for his fear. Reason number two, David was alone. He was entirely alone in this situation. We know that because the event in Gath happened soon after David started fleeing King Saul. The event is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21. It's not until chapter 22 of 1 Samuel that people started to join David. David did end up with his own little army, so to speak. But at first, when David had to suddenly flee from King Saul, he was entirely alone. And when you are all alone, fear easily escalates, doesn't it? When you have no one to help you, no one to encourage you, no one to talk to you, no one to stand beside you, well, then fear easily escalates. If you hear a sound at night and you're with a bunch of people in a room, well, you might not think about that sound. But if you hear that same sound when you are all alone at night, well, then you might be afraid. If you walk into a dark building with several people all around you, you probably are not going to have any fear. But if you walk into that same dark building all alone, well, then you might be afraid. My previous church in Wisconsin, the parsonage was right next door to the church. And late one night, it was after 10 p.m., late one night, I realized I had forgotten something in the sanctuary. So quickly ran over to the church to get it. I only turned on one small light. I was only going to be there for a short moment. Well, when I was in the sanctuary finding what I had left there, I suddenly heard the unmistakable sound of a large, solid door shutting. I mean, it wasn't, was that a door? It wasn't anything like that. And no, this was absolutely unmistakable. Someone opened and shut a door. This was after 10 p.m. The place was locked up. Lights were out. And so, I was afraid. Right? I actually thought about running there for a moment. Feet, do your duty. Get me out of here. But then I thought, well, what if someone sees their pastor running through the sanctuary? That wouldn't be very cool. So I did what everybody does in the movies. You know, I walked in the dark toward the sound. And then I saw him, the janitor's son, the custodian's son. He had been driving by, saw a light on, thought he'd do a good deed. He had a key. I'm going to go in, turn the light off. He didn't know he was going to scare his pastor to death, and I think I scared him as well. Being alone can escalate fear. Maybe you've experienced that. David was alone in a truly life-threatening situation. That's reason number two for his fear. Reason number three, David was seized by the Philistines in Gath. This is, as I've already read, what the title tells us. It's the heart of the situation behind this psalm. David was seized by the Philistines in Gath. Now, this is a very interesting event when you take note of two details. To explain the details, I have to do a little bit more review with you. When David first fled from Saul, he went to a priest named Ahimelech who lived in the city of Nob, which I showed you a moment ago on the map. Without telling Ahimelech, and we just reviewed this not too long ago with another psalm, without telling Ahimelech anything that happened, David asked Ahimelech for some bread and for a weapon. And I want to read to you about the weapon Ahimelech gave David. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. Then David said to Ahimelech, "Then have you not here a spear or a sword at hand? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you struck down in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you take that, take it, for there is none but that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it to me." Now, the detail I want you to take note of is that Ahimelech gave David the sword of Goliath. That's the sword David captured when he killed Goliath. And notice that David said, "There is none like it." Just the size of the sword probably made it one of a kind sword. "There is none like it," David said. And he took the sword. Now that's one detail we need to know. David had with him the sword of Goliath. Now, after David left Ahimelech, carrying the sword of a Goliath, he went to the Philistine city of Gath. I just read to you verses 8 and 9 of 1 Samuel 21. Here's what the very next verse, verse 10, says. I'll add that to the screen. "And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath." Gath, as I showed you earlier, was a Philistine city, and Achish was the Philistine king of Gath. That verse in and of itself makes you wonder, now what was David doing here? Why would he go to the Philistines? They're the enemies. Why would he go there? But what is really interesting is a second detail. Guess who grew up in Gath? Guess who was known for being from Gath? None other than the Philistine hero, Goliath. Gath was Goliath's hometown. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4 with me. I'll add that to the top of the screen. This is from the account of David killing Goliath. The verse says, "And there came out from the camp of the Philistine a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in span." We just learned that in Nob, Ahimelech gave David the sword of Goliath. And then David decided, "Oh, I'm going to go to Gath, Goliath's hometown." You have to wonder, what in the world was David thinking here? Why would he go to Gath carrying the sword of Goliath? I would love to be able to interview David and ask him that question, because the Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know. The Bible just tells us he left Ahimelech and he went to Gath with the sword of Goliath. Extremely interesting. I believe David's decision to go to Gath must somehow be connected to the sword. Something about the sword, it seems, made David think of Gath. Maybe David didn't think he would be recognized. Maybe he thought he could get their favor if he, you know, brought them the sword of their beloved hero. I don't know. That's my guess, what David was doing, but we don't know. All we know is that he went to Gath, the hometown of Goliath. Whatever David's plan was, it didn't work. It quickly failed, his plan. We learn from 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 11, that the servants of King Achish recognized him. They even knew the song Israel had been singing about David. And we're told they sang the song for their king. Verse 11 says, "And the servants of Achish said to him, 'Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish the king of Gath. They knew David had slain thousands of Philistines. Surely they knew about Goliath as well. David was their arch enemy. And now they had recognized him and they had seized him. They had David standing before their king. Swords, you know, were likely pointed at him, or spears were likely pointed at him. Talk about being in a bad situation. David realized now that whatever his plan had been, it had totally failed. And we're told he was much afraid. That's the situation behind Psalm 56. David asks in the psalm, "What can man do to me?" Well, not only could King Saul do a lot to David, but so could King Achish. The Philistines could have tortured David. They could have mocked David, you know, and paraded him around their city. They could have cut him down into little pieces right then and there. Humanly speaking, the Philistines could have done a lot to David. So David was much afraid. That's the frightening situation behind Psalm 56. And who wouldn't be afraid in that situation? Who wouldn't be? I think we would all be hard-pressed to describe a more frightening situation than David found himself in. Which means we can learn a lot from this psalm. If David could calm his fears in this kind of frightening, terrible situation, we also can calm our fears. The psalm teaches us what to do when we are in a truly terrifying position. So consider with me now David's wise reaction. That's the next overall point. David's wise reaction. There are three important components to it. Component number one, David trusted in God through the Word of God, meaning the Word of God fueled his trust. The Word of God informed his trust. David didn't merely place his trust in some vague notion of God or, you know, some higher being. No, he considered from the Word of God truth about God. We know that because, as I showed you earlier, David praises the Word of God in this psalm. There is no doubt that David was opening the Word of God, remembering the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God to fuel his trust in God. David doesn't tell us much of what specific truths he thought of from the Word of God. He has the beautiful mention in there about his tears being in God's bottle. But he doesn't. There's really no way to know which passage was David thinking of. We don't know that. But David was certainly thinking of many passages that he knew, that he had meditated on, that fueled his trust in God. For instance, David may have thought of the Song of Moses, written after the defeat of Pharaoh at the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 15, we read, "The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble." From a human perspective, Pharaoh could have easily wiped out the Israelites. Pharaoh had the weapons. Pharaoh had the soldiers. He had the Israelites trapped at the sea. From a human perspective, this should have been a very easy victory for Pharaoh. But it wasn't, because God defeated Pharaoh. And what God did for Pharaoh, he can do for us. This is a passage that reminds us God is glorious in power. His right hand shatters the enemy. David may have thought of that passage when he said, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you and in God whose word I praise." Maybe he was thinking of that word of God. Or David may have thought about these great words the Lord said to Joshua when Joshua took the place of Moses and they were entering the promised land. God said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's a great promise. And we see again and again in the book of Joshua how God kept that promise, what God did for his people. David may have been thinking about that word of God when he said, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise." David fueled his trust in God through the word of God. And we can do that as well. We even have more passages to use. Let me show you a great New Testament passage we can use. We can use the Old Testament passages as well, but here's a New Testament passage. In Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 29, we read these words of Jesus. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Dear friends, this passage is not hyperbole. It's not exaggeration. Not one bird anywhere in this world dies, falls to the ground apart from God saying, "Let it be." If you hunt pheasants or if you hunt ducks, no matter how good you are, you're not going to bring down a bird unless God says, "So be it." And God really does know how many hairs are on your head. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't be omniscient, knowing everything. And if a bird won't fall to the ground without the Father's will,
Well, neither will we. We're of far more value than the sparrows, made in the image of God. If you believe this word of God, it fuels your trust in God, and you don't have to be afraid. If you believe this word of God, then you can know with absolute assurity that there is not a terrorist or a murderer in this world who can kill you apart from God allowing it to happen. I'm not saying a bullet from a terrorist will never hit us. I'm saying it will not happen apart from God's will. That's an extremely significant truth, because we know God's will is good. His will is good. God has good plans for His people. So, you see, this is a great comfort. It is truth that fuels trust in God. It is truth that helps us fight fear with trust in God. That's why reading the Bible and studying the Bible is so important. If you're going to fight fear with trust in God, well, you have to know the Word of God. You have to know who God is. You have to know what He's promised us. You have to know what He's done, what He's going to do. We have to know more and more details about God to fuel our trust in God. We have to meditate on those things. We have to memorize those things. We have to keep them in mind. This is how we fuel our trust in God. The truth of God's word has to be available to us in our hearts, in our minds. When we find ourselves in a frightening situation, that's part of David's wise reaction. He looked to the word of God. We should always be studying the word of God, learning these great promises and truths about God. David, secondly, preached to himself. This is wise component number two. David preached to himself. That's my description of what David does in this psalm and other psalms as well. What he does in this psalm with his refrain, his question, what can flesh do to me? Or what can man do to me? That is a great preaching question. Makes you think about the Word of God. It makes you think about who God is, what He's promised, what He's done for us. It makes you interact with the Word of God. It's a great preaching question. What can mere man do to me when God is my help, when I trust in God? I trust in God who brought down Pharaoh at the Red Sea. I trust in God who helped Joshua enter and conquer the promised land. What can any army, what can any man do to me? Answer, absolutely nothing unless God wills it for His good purpose. See, we need to preach to ourselves in that way. Questions are a very effective means of preaching application. That's why I often use them in my sermons. Questions make us think. Questions get us to react. That's why I encourage you to memorize this wonderful refrain in this psalm. It's a powerful little sermon. You can preach to yourself. I trust in God. What can man do to me? It's a great preaching question. That's the second component of David's wise reaction. And number three, David gave confident thanks to God. He gave confident thanks to God. This is how he ends the psalm. Verses 12 and 13 say, I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. David had no doubt that God would keep his promises. He knew God would not fail him. Therefore, David looked forward to the day he would give thanks for his salvation.
He knew that one way or another, that day was coming when he would give thanks for his salvation. We can look forward to our complete salvation as well. Someday, all of God's people who have repented of their sins and placed their faith in Jesus, all of God's people will walk in the very presence of God. We will enjoy the fullness of the light of our great Savior. No one, absolutely no one, can keep that from happening. Not even death itself can keep that from happening. For our Lord Jesus has conquered death for us. Nothing can keep us from being in His presence. That's our great comfort. So, this is a wonderful psalm to use to fight fear. I encourage you to do so. I ask you to say with me the refrain. We're going to say the refrain together, and then we're going to sing the refrain. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. Eric Graff has written a song using this refrain. We're going to sing that together. We're going to say this. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing the refrain. I hope you leave here with that on your heart and your mind to use to fight fear. So join me now in saying Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Father God Almighty, how awesome it is to know that nothing can happen to us apart from your goodwill. How awesome it is to know that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. How awesome it is to know that nothing can keep us from one day standing in your very presence, enjoying your great, perfect, holy light forevermore. No more darkness, only your great light. Thank you for the amazing, wonderful promises to us you have filled your word with. How awesome it is to know that you are with us wherever we go. How awesome it is to know that you have our hairs numbered. How awesome it is to know that we are of more value than the sparrows. Thank you, Father, for your word to us, your truth to us about who you are, what you've done for us through Jesus, what you are going to do for us. May we always pick up your word and meditate on it and learn it and know it and enjoy it unto your glory and honor. Thank you for all that you do. We pray in the name of Jesus, amen.